Will Foley's here. And Will, now we have time for your story. Thank you, sir, for your service to this country. It's a little more remarkable than I knew, and I've known you for years, because you opened up a little bit the other night at the Coaching Alliance talking about your Special Forces background. But tell us the Will Foley story and why these donations today to Veterans Count do make a difference, Will.
Sure. Well, first, Jack, thanks for having me. I really appreciate everything you do for veterans and, of course, Veterans Count. When I first got out, well, first let me back up a minute. So I started out in the 82nd Airborne, went into the Airborne Infantry straight out of basic training. And anybody who's a veteran understands that the culture shock that you go through in basic training is certainly something that you don't experience on in the civilian world. Got to the 82nd Airborne, cut my teeth there, made some rank, and decided to go to selection assessment for Special Forces, become a Green Beret. The course is very long, grueling, both mentally and physically. Typically, about 30% make the cut after about a two-year process in the qualification course. That's if you're selected outright. There are many folks who have to go back sometimes two or three times just to make it that far, just to get into the course, never mind actually make a team. So it's a long process. I ended up in 10th Group, assigned to 10th Special Forces Group at Fort Carson, Colorado. It was a great experience. During that time, I deployed to Kosovo, Bosnia, Kosovo many times, and Iraq. During the initial invasion of Iraq in 2003, my team, my detachment, and my company were among the first actual Americans on the ground in the mountains of northern Iraq with the Kurds, working with the Peshmerga there first to unite them because they were very divided, organize them, equip them, train them, and then finally lead them. Once we got close air support, as you may remember, as shock and awe campaign, beginning of the invasion, we were Task Force Viking, was the name of our task force. And we pushed south with about 15,000 Kurds, who many of which didn't even speak English. We didn't speak their language. We had very few interpreters at the time, so communication was tough. A lot of times through just example and hand and arm signals. We led them south to Mosul, took the city of Mosul, Erbil, wow, and Kirkuk.
Wow.
So a lot of achievement there. It went well on the first trip. We were fighting Saddam's army, not the insurgency that came afterwards. Certainly, it was hard, in many ways. But we did have close air support, so we were victorious, so to speak, in that first OIF one. Got back. I took an assignment to go back down to Fort Bragg to be an instructor, and I taught future Green Berets for about 3.5 years until I retired from the Army in 2010. In 2010, walking away from the Army was one of the toughest things I've ever had to do in my life. A lot harder than actually going in. Going in, you don't really know what to expect. Getting out, you think you know what to expect, but the culture shock is even more profound than going in, I would have to say. That I found. There's always that that thought of, I'm a Green Beret. In my case, I should be able to land a job easily. I'm qualified in many things, as you so eloquently illustrated in your lead-in. But that wasn't the case for me. I applied for probably over 200 jobs. When I did get an interview, I was told I was, either overqualified or underqualified because of the fact that I didn't have a college degree at the time. So at that point, I decided, enough is enough. Let me do just some physical labor work, just pay the bills, and, I'll press on. Well, that became, 6 months, became a year, became 2 years. And, I started to isolate myself, drink heavily, didn't have many friends, didn't Green Berets, most veterans won't ask for help. Green Berets especially were kind of stubborn like that. And, eventually a friend of mine reached out to Veterans Count and put me in touch with one of their counselors, and their care coordinators did not give up on me. Called me, every couple of days until I finally relented.
They're persistent.
They're very persistent. He was very persistent, thank goodness, and forced me to finally go to the VA, talk me into it. I always figured, the VA, that's for old guys, that's...
Right.
But helped me along and got me squared away. And at that point, I realized, hey, I'm going to go to college. And so I, took advantage of the opportunity of the GI Bill and went to SNHU and got a degree in business. And it's been straight up from there. I was very fortunate that I had Veterans Count, a care coordinator that was so persistent, and good friends around me who cared enough to push me in that direction, to keep me motivated.
I think the program prides itself on reaching out to veterans and trying to maintain that dignity. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with your coordinator and if you felt that?
And the number to call, as Will does, 844-650-8387. Really, nothing's too small. And believe me, I filled up my truck yesterday. I understand the price of gas. I understand the price of chicken and hamburger and steak right now. I know inflation's hyper. But $25, $50 makes a big difference. $100. Ginger went through what these more than 20,000 people have been helped by Veterans Count. And let me just tell you this. If you don't know about Veterans Count, that's a big part of why we do today. Will Foley, I'm amazed, and you talk to it. How many people who've been in New Hampshire for years still don't know to this day about Veterans Count, if they're a veteran and their family? And the other thing we need to hammer out right away, Will, and you're a good example, you served in the Special Forces. You went into parts of Iraq and Kosovo with your team. You chose to serve. You go in. You don't put your hand up and ask for help as a Green Beret, right? I mean, you don't need help. You're a Green Beret. You're like a Navy SEAL, Delta Team Force member. You don't need help, right? You're invincible, right, Will?
That's it. I mean, you nailed it. And it was very difficult for me to do that. Opening up to the care coordinator that called me initially was difficult. Through conversation, they kept it light. I found out that the care coordinator was also a veteran, so he understood where I was coming from. And he didn't force anything. It was easy to speak to him.
Do you feel he had your back?
Absolutely, 100%.
Do you feel your team members in the Green Beret had your back?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Do you feel sometimes when you were transitioning that some people that you kind of felt alone, isolated, frustrated?
I did. There's not, you kind of tend to isolate just because you don't think that anybody else out there understands where you're coming from.
Right.
And that's a big part of this, that stubborn feeling and the, just the propensity to isolate yourself and drink, for that matter. I was not in a good place at all. But again, he was persistent, gave me a couple of days, called me back, and as I said, motivated me, pushed me, not only to take care of my own health, go to the VA, dental, all those things, but also pushed me to go to school, and earn my degree.
Southern New Hampshire University, one of our great sponsors of my show, and you did pretty well on that degree on your GPA, if I remember hearing you talk before, right?
Yeah, that's right. I earned my degree there with a 3.7 GPA. It was higher, but I took an online course. It was a little more challenging to finish early.
Well, Will, at UVM, my fraternity brother and I, together we had that CUM.
I believe that, Jack.
Oh, yeah. 844, the number to call to support veterans like Will and their families, and now that Will is helping mentor other veterans, is amazing. 844-650-VETS. That's 8387. 844-650-8387. Please call now. Please. It makes a difference. As I said earlier with Mike Pomp, we do I had this idea 8 years ago, and I'm going to take a quick moment because, Will, you know the person I'm going to speak about in a moment. And Will Foley's story continues. 844-650-8387. Ginger Munson. 8 years ago, I was driving on Route 101. And I don't know what happened, but I just sort of had this thought, had a feeling, middle of the day, why can't we do 12 hours for veterans and their families in New Hampshire on a radiothon on commercial stations? Why can't we? And over the years at WMUR-TV in my past, we've done many, many wonderful telethons and radiothons for causes like Jerry Lewis's telethon, muscular dystrophy, diabetes, cancer. St. Jude's does great stuff. Why not for veterans? Why? So I called Renee Plummer, someone we all know who's usually with us today, running up and down without her shoes on. God love her. Big part of, you're laughing because it's true,
right?
Hair on
fire, not literally. But.
Yeah. She lives, eats, and breathes for people like Will.
She
and
does.
You know Renee, right, Will?
Absolutely, yes. She's my second mom.
And she's got a family issue today, so she's not with me today. But the first call I made on Route 101 was to Renee, Hurricane Renee. I said, I got an idea. Are you sitting down? She goes, yeah. I go, I was in a different network at the time. I go, what if we use my radio show and we do 12-hour radiothon for Veterans Count? And she, of course, was the Seacoast chapter of this great group, part of Easter Seals, by the way. And by the way, if you're thinking about donating, and please do right now, more than 90 cents of every one of your dollars goes to veterans. They don't have a big, huge office and big overhead and staff, and they're not from out of state. They're in Manchester, New Hampshire. Easter Seals, Veterans Count, part of their veteran services, 844-650-8387. I called Renee. I said, well, I got an idea. Let's do 12 hours for veterans. You know how sometimes, Will, when you're driving around New Hampshire, the cell phone drops out? Thought I lost her. She was talking. Next thing I know, it's quiet. I go, did I lose you? She goes, no, I'm crying. I go, what? She goes, I'm crying in joy. Do you think we can do this? I go, yeah, we can. Why not? You know, why not? You know, and we've done it 8 years, and this year we'll go over $1 million, I think, in total donations from this day. Governor Sununu earlier proclaiming today, make 12 hours count for Veterans Count. It's not a handout, it's a hand up. Will, would you say Veterans Count at a crossroads in your life after being in the Special Forces made a kind of a big difference in your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. You know, I feel very fortunate that they were there for me. I've had many of my friends, brothers, former guys that I served with, not been so fortunate. Some have even taken their own lives. I deal with that even now, as you can hear in my voice.
Yeah.
It's very emotional, and again, I'm just so grateful that they were there for me. It's pushed me in the right direction. Now, I continue to serve with FedPoint under Paul Fort, and I am a national account manager and really emissary for federal benefits programs for veterans, retirees, their families, and I go around and educate vets and retirees on these programs, answer a lot of questions. But in my travels, I get to meet all different, you know, active duty soldiers, Marines, airmen. And, you know, I really consider myself very fortunate.
Problem is, Will Foley, and you've gone and fought for freedom. When you're free, you don't know it, do you? You only know when you're not free. You only know when you're behind bars somewhere, right?
That's right. That's very, very true. A lot of times we go through every day and not realize the freedoms we have. When you get to travel around, and especially to war-torn countries, not particularly led by nice people, you cherish that freedom. And when you finally do get back here, you also realize how much that is taken for granted. And that's a big piece. And I think, for me anyways, one of the reasons why you feel so isolated when you walk away from military service. That was one of the big things that I spoke about with the culture shock. That's something that, you know, in the Army, especially Special Forces, the guys on your team, we're there, you know, with a purpose. We have a mission. We believe in what we do. We believe in why we do it. But when you walk away, it's very hard to find people of that mindset, unless they are also veterans.
Well, when you serve overseas, you know, like you mentioned, you see things that civilians here don't see, and you get a true appreciation and understanding for why we're there and who we're helping when we're there. You know, that's what was impressed upon me a lot, even by my husband, when he talked about the Yazidis that he met. and the Kurds. You know, it's a very tangible experience.
And Will, becoming a Green Beret or Special Forces, you know, there's the Rangers in the Army, which are incredible. I think you'd speak to that.
Absolutely.
Technically not part of the Special Forces umbrella, but try telling a Ranger that, right? I'm sure you've had many discussions about that, but just can you tell us in a minute or two, what is a Green Beret?
Sure. So Special Forces, U.S. Army Special Forces, Green Berets, was recognized. Yeah. The Green Beret itself was recognized by JFK, John F. Kennedy, president, in 1952. Awarded to our 60, unit,
yeah,
the 1st Special Forces Regiment.
The actual beret, right?
The actual beret. If you ask most Green Berets if they like wearing the actual beret, they'll tell you they prefer just a patrol cap. The beret itself is not the right reason to go into Special Forces.
It's not about the look.
It's not. Well, you got to look cool. That's the first rule, right? But it's not really about the beret. It's about the mission. It's about being surrounded by top-notch guys, you know, people who will put their life on the line for you in a second. It's not even a question, and accomplish the mission no matter what comes. Rangers have a very specific mission. The Ranger regiments, they are hardcore, hard charging, absolutely, stellar in every way. There are many Green Berets who are Rangers as well. I was, as I said, in the 82nd Airborne. I did not get that opportunity, but I went on to 10th Special Forces Group, earned a Green Beret, was on a team. But yeah, we served side by side with former regimental, you know, guys from Ranger Regiment and Tab guys, Ranger Tabs.
How tight is that team?
Oh, very tight. Very tight. On the team life is somewhat isolationist, too. I mean, we do everything with each other's families. You know, we spend every waking minute together, whether it's training or even on the weekends, doing a cookout. So it is pretty tight.
Did you lose any teammates, Will?
Absolutely, yes, I did. A few. And, afterwards as well.
Do you keep them with you today?
Yeah, always. And
what do you mean? I'm sorry to interrupt. Well, this is what veterans count. This speaks to the heart of what we're doing. What do you mean afterwards?
Well, you know, after they got out, they weren't able to adjust well for whatever reason. I don't pretend to know. I certainly can understand. I will be very upfront with you and say, when you go to combat and you see that kind of stuff. See these things happen in real time, you take on a different perspective of life and death. So when you return home, or, you know, it's just a different perspective. I'll just say that. So maybe it's more like checking out of a hotel, if you will, or checking into a new hotel, right?
Yeah.
It becomes very, I don't know, I'm speaking for me.
Right.
That's what we want to hear. That's what's important.
You know, I can't ever understand what was going through their head in the moment. My friends that took their own lives, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I dwell on it a little bit. I've thought about it myself in the past. I think everybody has at least not thought about taking their own life, but thought about death.
Right.
And when you see death, And it becomes a commonplace thing.
Yeah.
It's a different perspective.
Absolutely.
You know, it is a rather morbid topic, I'm trying to explain it the best I can.
But Will, thank you, because it's a door we have to open, or it never gets opened.
It is.
And you know, that's what the care coordinators and Veterans Count do. They get to these veterans. They cut down the suicide numbers because they work with the veteran. Will, I've met a few folks like yourself. We have one this afternoon who was a night stalker. Aaron White's going to join us. And he told me for 4 or 5 years after, he had to think of reasons every day not to do it. Every day. And he said, you know how tiring that got? And the only thing that kept him alive was his love for his wife. And we finally got him a service dog, a canine. And that dog, he says, has saved his life. Because if too often the veteran's sent to the, no offense, to the VA or somewhere, they want to give you a prescription medication or a behavioral adjustment. They're not getting to the root of what it was like to be slung out over one of those night stalkers shooting to pick up a team like you in the mountains, killing whatever was in the way to get you. And he just said it was a hard thing to carry, and after a while it was easier not to carry it if he ended it, but he stayed alive, and he's going to join us today. And that's what Veterans Count can do for our veterans, especially our combat veterans, but also veterans that didn't get a thank you after Vietnam. They got spit on, urinated on, called baby killers. They didn't set the policies. They just served. I've met Vietnam veterans to this day. If you thank them, you see a tear in their eye. 844-650-8387. 844-650-8387. We have wonderful people standing by right now to hear you calling on your cell phone, your office, your home, your car, to give to Veterans Count. Because this isn't about pity or a handout. This is about respect, honor, support, and thank you. 844-650-8387. And Will, again, I just love you. I think you're a wonderful person. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Jack.
I look at you today versus a few years ago when I first met you. You still could throw me through the wall without a good reason, but you are just, you look at peace. And I don't think that was an easy thing for you to find.
Well, you know, it's about finding purpose. I tell a lot of guys that are still in this, you know, it's important to have a plan, yes, for transition. It's important to make your Army service, for me as a Green Beret, the standard, rather than look at it as, oh, I'll never be that cool again. You know, this is my standard now, my modus operandi. And for me, you have to find purpose in your life, in your job, which I have. Very fortunately, I have found an awesome job with a great company and with a just an amazing mission that I love. And also to take care of yourself. You know, for me, the alcohol was my escape, and it just made things worse. And now I am, you know, I don't touch a drop. I work out every day. I'm back doing PT, on the reg every morning.
And Ginger, I think a Kirby who's helped us in the past, and he was a veteran, Army veteran, and had done some contract work. And the part that I remember his story where he was at with Will, talking about Will, what Will was sharing about drinking just to kind of numb the pain. Kirby wound up literally at the bottom of the stairs in his basement at the height of his drinking to deal with his depression of PTSD and the hurt, because these veterans, like Will, have explained it to me, and a lot of people have only seen it in a movie like American Sniper with Bradley Cooper playing Chris Kyle, and we've had his widow on the show a few years ago. But PTSD for these veterans folks, or any of us, but for them, it's a physical thing. It's not just emotional. Like the veterans are explaining to me, like Aaron White and Will will tell you, when this emotional trigger comes in, it could have been from an image in Mosul, Iraq. There are physical consequences that they can't stop in the body. And it's unbelievable. And people need to wake up to this because it's real. And with Kirby, if that police officer who responded to his house locally was not a veteran and didn't understand that he was at a really low point, Kirby said he was armed. He was suicidal. His family's upstairs. He was down at the bottom of the stairs. He had just, you know, as he said, polished off a bottle. He had a pretty powerful weapon in his hand. If that officer didn't have the sensitivity and the training to kind of calm him down, even though he had to go to jail a little bit to get some help in Veterans Count, he says that Veterans Coordinator, care coordinator, was there. And he says, I remember because she was this little thing person, and she had bronchitis. And she was at the court.
And she showed up anyway. Yep.
Waiting to get me out, to get me help. If that officer, that police officer, didn't have the empathy and the training, he would have shot and killed Kirby, says him. And he goes, and part of me was kind of hoping that. He goes, so these stories are real. And they're not to make you cry, but they make you realize there's this less than 1% of us who serve. And not everyone does what Will Foley did. Not everyone's a Green Beret. Not everyone's a special operator. Not everyone has served in combat, but if you serve in the military, your family serves with you. As Ginger said this morning, it's impossible to do a year or two away like you did, Ginger, and have it not change your life, right?
Correct. I want to bring up just one number real quick because we've been hearing these important stories. And in case there's somebody out there listening who can relate or, you know, who's considering getting support, the number for services at Easter Seals and Veterans Count is 603-315-4354. That's what we call our front door. You call that and we have experienced care coordinators that can just listen, talk to you, see how and what we can do to help. So 603-315-4354. And if you know somebody that you think is in need of services, if you have questions, if you want to know what to do or how to guide them, call that number as well. You know, we can connect you to people that can help you bring your service member in or encourage you in how they can get services.
And
really,
Ginger,
really important.
Kathy from Veterans Count just handed me this. Will, you'd like this. She's listening to Will. Thank you, Will. Marie of Concord gave a gift in honor of her dad, who received a service, who received services from Veterans Count and had a ramp installed at their house with
That's
the
awesome.
Services. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
She gave after listening to Will and his story. And Will, thank you for opening up a little bit, buddy. You're a great person. I respect you. I'm proud of you. And thank you again for your service and sharing your stories about how Veterans Count was there for you.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for everything you do for Veterans Count, for veterans. It's just amazing every year.